Lay.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Okay, two things. Dell, what about your heat last night?
Yeah, I talked about it yesterday with Raheel. He asked me about it. And surviving a third quarter in Philly has been their biggest issue really all regular season long, or all season long. And it showed up in game one where they went into the third quarter with the four-point lead and left it down by double digits. They've had awful third quarters, and in this one, they went in up 14 in game two, and I think it got to 11, so they survived it, and that's been their problem. We saw Philly make a run in the fourth, but, Father Prime decided not today, and big steal led to a dunk for him, and then a pass to James Johnson for a dunk, so a win. That's been a competitive regular season, so I expected nothing less. I think that one has a chance to go the distance.
You know, I see how much talent Philly has, and I think they're going to be a championship team. But this is one of the downsides of being a young team, is that was wild fluctuations in that game for them yesterday. And that's a classic case of young players and inexperienced players who you don't have. Like, that's a team that could use an Iguodala type, or they need probably a couple of veterans on that team to smooth things over. And they don't have it this year, but it wouldn't shock me next year if they said, you know what, we got all the young guys, let's go find the right veterans, let's go find us a Carlos Beltran and try to,
well, I mean, they show this out. Bellinelli and Ilyasova. None,
what have they won?
I mean, no, I'm not saying the stars, but they are the older players, and J.J. Redick's on the roster as well. Yeah, I don't know who they would be willing to pay when they have a chance to maybe go get an elite player. The rhythm of the game switch. Miami came out more physical, picked up a lot of fouls early, but it changed the rhythm. I mean, Philly didn't mind. I guess you go to the free throw line, you make your buckets, but it didn't allow them to get into a flow. We know they're up tempo. They like to shoot. They like to get up and down the floor. They didn't make a lot of threes last night, probably because I think the physicality of what Miami brought, they weren't going to allow the free reign in their offense that Philly had in game one. I think it just changed the rhythm, and we'll see how a young team, at least a team led by young players, goes on the road. And plays in a not that Miami's so hostile, but they've never played in a playoff series like this before. Not Simmons and others, so we'll see.
Yeah. Plus, they got a couple of guys that just can't shoot. I mean, just can't shoot. And so you're going to have to defend. I mean, they got to get the ball to a guy who, if I'm them, I just lay off Ben Simmons. You cannot let that dude drive because, okay, shoot. Do anything. We'll leave you all alone outside.
They actually picked him up a bit half court, even using a big man to kind of make it difficult for him to get the ball. The thing about playing off of him is, obviously, he's so big he can look over you, but he's got free run to pass the basketball when you are putting no pressure on him at all.
Right.
You allow him to pick out guys coming off screens and back cuts and stuff like that. So Miami took the tack you're talking about in game one, and he had his way. He had a nice game last night as well, but they just beat everybody up coming off screens, even beat up Ben Simmons. They were saying, hey, we'll take our fouls, but we're not allowing your offense to run freely, and it worked.
Apparently it did. What did they score, 13 in the second quarter?
I think it was 30. I had to look, but it was around there. They went into the second quarter up by 7 or 9, and Miami dominated that quarter. It really was the difference in the game.
Yeah, and they were able to hold them off. So, yeah, I mean, that's the East. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, yeah, that series is important because it has Milwaukee. It matches up with Milwaukee and Boston. You could look at that series and go, the team who wins that series has a real shot to get to a conference final. Now, they'll probably get smacked around by whoever they play in that conference final. But it's kind of an open part of the bracket where if you play well, you got a shot to exceed expectations, at least coming into the season.
You know, I think it was probably, I mean, it's we did overreaction Monday yesterday, and LeBron, and obviously the biggest overreaction from the first weekend was the Cavs. Are the Cavs done? Blah, blah, blah. Is LeBron, whatever. Clay Travis did something yesterday. He said, you know what, if watch ESPN, how it's going to grip, and you got to watch the referees in this series, because if LeBron is not in it, the NBA is driven by stars, obviously. if the Raptors are in the NBA Finals, that is horrific for the league, for ABC, for ESPN. It's horrific for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
So the league, while, you know, no one's claiming anything, although Tim Donaghy proved and said, oh,
well, that wasn't league. That was just him trying to get some cheddar.
Well, but he also said that Joey Crawford was the cooler, that Joey Crawford knew exactly what to do in situations.
I think the league would actually be well served to have not Toronto, but Philadelphia, young team full of potential future stars, young Magic, young Sean Kemp over there with, although he's even bigger than Kemp, Embiid. I think that actually would be good for basketball. LeBron's going to shine all the time. But if you had Philadelphia, that's pretty good, I think. If you have Toronto, that's a total nightmare.
A
total nightmare. There's no star. Don't tell me about DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry. That is a star-free team. That's a nightmare.
Yeah. No, that would be a nightmare for the league because, first of all, it's not even an American city.
Jazz. What about Jazz? Would Jazz versus Raptors be a good series?
Oh my God! No, everyone in the league office would have to hang himself.
It would disband.
It would be horrific for the league. And oh, by the way, it'll be horrific if Golden State is not there. If Golden State isn't there with its star power and what it brings to the television too, all you want, and you know, I know we hate it here, but the Rockets would be a loser for them.
I know that Golden State, particularly last year, had this sense of that inevitability of what was going to happen. If the league got a matchup where it wasn't Golden State, but and another team won the title, would that peak fan? I know the ratings in this finals would not be great, but would it peak fan interest going to next year, letting everyone know, hey, yeah, Golden State super team, they didn't win it.
Yeah.
Everyone's really got a shot here, no matter what.
Would
it peak fan interest, and they can look at their team and go, oh, yeah, okay, we got a shot. Golden State isn't infallible.
No, that is true, but that's for next year. If you want to know the truth, this was as uninteresting a season that we were heading into as any, because Golden State was such a huge favorite.
Until
the Rockets did what they did.
So if the Rockets played Toronto, and obviously here we'd want the Rockets to win, but if Toronto won, whoever wins, you go into next season thinking, hey, we just got through Golden State and we won a title, or we got through Golden State and lost in the finals. Why couldn't we? Golden State's not. No one's afraid of Golden State anymore, right?
Right. And Golden State went from the darling to heel turn.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're the, you know, hey, everybody's got to beat them. Everybody, you know what? We don't like Kevin Durant. We don't like Draymond Green. Everybody loves Steph and his little daughter sitting up there.
Well, except when he throws his mouthpiece, people have found a way to dislike Steph, too.
Well, you'll find a way. If you're winning, you're certainly going to find a way. Is it now clear? Or is it just the matchup that Golden State has flipped a switch?
I think it's just, I thought they were going to flip a switch. I didn't care about all those losses. This is so predictable to me, but this is also a patsy that they're getting. And I hate saying that about a pop team. I got a lot of respect for that team. But without Kawhi Leonard, they really are. It is a no-talent team. And the one thing about you can play great team basketball, this, that, and the other, but if you don't have enough talent, you can't run with Golden State. You can't, because they got, you know, Klay Thompson is a DeMar DeRozan level player, where he's not a superstar, but he's a really good player. Draymond Green does everything for you. Kevin Durant is a megastar. That's way too much. I don't care with or without Steph. Without Steph, I don't think they can win a championship without Steph, but they can roll the Spurs in four.
Is there
without Steph? I mean, they'll just crush them.
LaMarcus had a bounce back year, partly because they decided to let him be the only big on the floor as opposed to playing him with Powell, at least starters minutes. Who besides him would you want starting for you on the Spurs? That's how I judge the Spurs this year. Is there a player on that roster
you
want in your starting lineup besides LaMarcus Aldridge?
Mm-mm. No,
and that just speaks to their level of talent.
Yeah, they don't have it. They don't have it.
So Golden State, fine. All that energy in that building, that's great. But you're playing.
I would replace Gerald Green with Danny Green.
Well, not starters.
I know that's the only thing I would do. Like I sat behind them that day, and as I'm going through, like no, redhead guy with beard, white guy I've never heard of, which Spurs always lead the league in that, and like no, wow. This team has sucky talent. Like when you see it, Manu's 100, Tony Parker's 100, you realize this team is really gotten old fast, and they are way international now. It's fine to be international when you've got some stars. It's not, you don't want to be overly international if you don't have a true number one. And for all intents and purposes, they don't have a true number one anymore.
No. Did you hear what Pop said about after the game about Aldridge? He had a really nice game. Well, he had 34 or whatever and all the rebounds. He said, yeah, that's a great guy, great teammate. He's there every day for his team and blah, blah, blah. Maybe a little shot at Kawhi.
There's no question it is. Pop better be careful because, well, that thing may have already sailed.
I think that ship already sailed. If he's not even showing up for this postseason, that ship has sailed. I don't think there's any question. And I don't know that they'll ever be able to get the value for him, but they've got to do something.
You have to ask his group.
Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith was right about that. By the way, I didn't see Stephen A. Smith when he was here yesterday.
I did.
You did?
Yeah, he walked. As we were ending our show, actually, as I was going to walk, just
did you
to
go
walk
up and
around,
thank him for his
is
service?
He here today or no?
I don't know. I just saw him, and he's taller than you might imagine. I mean, I guess he's 6'2", 6'3", whatever.
Did John just say, did you thank him for his service?
For being a...
As a Philadelphia
why would I
beat
thank
writer
him for,
the
service?
For Sixers back in the day?
You know, being the spokesman.
Being with
spokesman
Skip?
For what?
Oh, nothing. I'm just wondering if you
no,
thanked him.
Hold on. I know we need to go to break.
We got
to
go to break. 8:14.
No, but who is he a spokesman for?
I'm assuming he means First Take.
For sports?
He's
outlisted. He's outlasted.
Why would I
first
thank Skip
take.
Bayless? Why would I thank him for that?
Thank him for his service.
For being a spokesman?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's
for
a
sports spokesman.
It's changed everything. Now everyone has strong opinions on both sides opinion.
Everybody has takes now.
First take. Speak for yourself. Don't be talking that mess. All these new shows that are on Fox Sports 1.
Don't be talking that mess.
That's a new show that's
I've
coming.
I've never heard of that show.
Yes, it's coming on. It is going to have D'Angelo Williams and just a white guy.
Is BET from the 1980s starting a sports
no.
show? Don't be talking that mess.
Don't be talking don't that be... mess is now. That would have been a BET, BET show back in the 90s.
That
but
sounds
now
like
it's a Fox Sports
oh,
1
like
show.
That couldn't be the name of a show.
Not today.
Oh, don't be talking that mess.
Are you kidding me?
Not with dude. Like I could see like a woman show
Listen,
called Don't Be Talking That Mess.
No. I was going through yesterday. I was going through the guide of all the shows. The names of shows today... Absolutely, don't be talking that mess. Could be
absolutely.
The name of the show.
Ready? Will Cain, Pablo Torres, D'Angelo
they
Williams.
Would never
don't
call
be
t- it.
And a woman and a female and Sarah Spain.
They would
don't
never,
be talking that mess.
Jamel.
No, they would never call it. Don't be talking that mess. D'Angelo Williams wouldn't allow it to be called. Don't be talking that mess.
What about a show called
Don't be talking that mess.
What about a show called
Don't be talking that mess and
I got a show.
Sounds like the ideas of white guys naming shows.
Ready? Woody Page, somebody sassy, somebody who's very strong on the left, and then Will Cain.
Why is Will Cain in everyone?
He's the hot guy on the he's more of a right wing. Like he's the only real go to you have. So Will Cain's gonna be doing like four shows. Tell me I'm wrong that a wouldn't jump off. Four panel show?
Not Why are you trying to get the black woman's view on TV?
What about a show called Say It Again?
No, it's not. You
bitch,
can't.
I dare you.
Yeah,
what about a show called Bitch, I Dare You?
It's so... No.
What about I Wish Him Would? What about that show?
That show never gets
I would watch it. I would watch Bitch, I Dare You.
Why you
with a Tony Reale type guy?
No.
Let's go to... Woody Page.
Why are you trying to give a show to Tiffany Haddish and to Monique?
Tiffany Haddish hosting a show called Bitch, I Dare You. You know I got clapped on by Monique one time.
You should.
We were at a Steve Harvey show, and I kept going all the way. And me, Rodney, and Chris Solis, the three of us, Steve Harvey, he was in town. This is like, man, this is 2001. I'm going down Arena Theater. Got tickets from Rush Davis. I can't remember. He used to handle a lot of comedians. Like, he's still the agent for Steve Harvey. So I don't even know how I knew him. He got me tickets to Steve Harvey. We're walking down. Keep walking. Like, wow, he got us good seats. Keep walking. Like, oh, no. Keep walking. Oh, we're on the front row. Front row of all black comedy. This is not where I want it to be. And then Monique just caught my eye. And I'm, like, trying not to make any eye contact. I'm looking down. She's like, oh, the white people. people all know. And but she didn't kill us. And Steve Harvey left us alone primarily. But Monique did. She did sass us a little bit.
A little bit. All right, 818 ESPN 975-7378-03776. Look at, if you're selling your house, okay, the real estate agent is going to tell you, you can't, what? You can't be selling this trash right here. What you got to do is you got to upgrade. Look at the weather and your siding. It's faded. It's ugly. You need to upgrade. You've got to upgrade. It is. And oh, by the way, it will pay back. It will. It's one of the things that you put into your house that you will definitely get everything out of. Leonard Courtright is doing amazing things right now at Allied Siding and Windows. The whole home replacement siding package from Allied Siding and Windows includes all new James Hardy plank siding, trim, and overhangs for just $150 a month for the average size home in Houston. It's a non-prorated 30-year warranty. Over 1,000 styles and combinations to choose from. So you got the selection. You've got the best in the business in Allied. You've got the best in the business in James Hardy plank. You've got the number one installer of James Hardy plank, an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call Allied now at 713-WINDOWS. A 30-second call sets up a 30-minute meeting and a free estimate. Allied Siding and Windows is something that you've got to... Do not go with Joe's replacement siding, okay? Because first of all, it's fly by night. You don't know that you're going to get. They're going to actually stand behind all of their work. You get a $500 Amazon certificate with a whole home signing purchase, 100% financing, zero down, zero interest for 18 months. Call them at 713-WINDOWS, 713-946-3697. Allied Siding and Windows, affordable, local, reliable.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Hey, guys. Want to tell you about my good friends over at Renter's Warehouse, or Men's Tea Clinic, rather. Well, we'll tell you about Renter's later, but Men's Tea Clinic is who I want to tell you about right now. So they've been big difference makers. It's amazing. So I started a little bit of a workout plan, and amazingly, what do you know, lost 6 pounds since doing that. When you are taking your testosterone treatments to get back to your normal level, your workouts start to matter more, just like they did when you're in your 20s or 30s. And it was an issue for me. I didn't know it was an issue. I had a constant fatigue level that was really a problem, and I just figured it was a lack of sleep. And sleep helps, but it was also lower testosterone. And so the guys over at Men's Tea Clinic got me back up to speed. I tested. I came in low. I started treatment same day. And the very first treatment, they said, you know, Michael, who is the provider over there, said, look, you're going to feel a boost of energy within about the first 3 days. And that was awesome. It was awesome to be able to get through my work week that I had with that kind of energy level back in January of a couple of years ago. And then what you notice is that you just, everything's sharper, clearer, quicker, your workouts work out better. You just have an overall well-being, a sense of well-being that really permeates everything you do. And it's fantastic. It's really highly recommend. Go to menstclinic.com, see all their locations. They got one in Pearland, one in Pasadena, one in Cypress, and the location at 1801 Durham and I-10. I'm headed in on Thursday's my day to go, so I will be by there as well. You can make the call today, 713-568-1175, or just go to menstclinic.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 824 ESPN. This is a short segment because we fell behind again because of Oh no, he didn't, or whatever the game show was.
Don't be fronting.
Don't be fronting.
That could be on Fox Sports 1 or this one.
Don't be fronting could be.
Don't be so sure could be another show that they could have on, a talk show called Don't Be So Sure.
Yeah.
Or this. And all it is this emoji face.
The emoji?
Thinking emoji face.
Thinking emoji face.
Because at some point we'll have a show that's just an emoji face.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
It won't have a name. Before we get to Mr. Is that Vega?
Mr. Vega or Vegas?
It's Vega.
Vega.
It's could be Vincent Vega. Before we do that, Uncle Freddie wants to know, if you had to name your son Yuli or Marwin, what would you name him?
Yuli.
I would name him Marwin. Dale?
Yeah, but you have a son named Sebastian, so yeah.
Yeah. So I
like Yuli. Yulieski.
Russian.
Yeah.
That's
Yulieski Granado. I mean, it makes sense.
I don't know if Yulieski is something you want to do in this time and age, naming your kid after a Russian.
Russian shows are hot. Watched Homeland again this weekend. Hot.
The Americans.
Are you on the Americans?
Kerry Russell can get it. No, I got to get the end of two seasons ago, like two episodes. Then I got all of last year, and then I got the new one. There is a guy who runs
slowed
Prime
down for a while, but then it picked back
Prime
up.
Prime Social Poker?
Yeah.
The guy who, Brent?
Yeah.
Who's one of the ones who runs it?
Oh, yeah. He's,
is a Matthew Reese deadlock cinch. You're going to walk in there and like, oh my God, it's a guy from the Americans is running the card tables here.
No, he does look like him, yes, though. Yes, I would agree with that. Let's get Mr. Vega in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Mr. Vega?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
How you doing?
Hey, real quick, I just had two comments that I wanted to share with y'all, maybe get your opinions on. Yesterday, I caught the first half of the Golden State and San Antonio game. And during the first quarter, I noticed, you know, there was a stretch down the line where Golden State went like 9 or 10 straight missed field goals. And I was looking forward to San Antonio to capitalize. I mean, I hate both teams, but I hate the Warriors more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, come on, man. You know, San Antonio was getting wide open shots, wide open threes. And I guess we're just so used to seeing the Rockets play. In my mind, I'm like, all right, that's in. But it goes back to the lack of talent on the players because, you know, San Antonio wasn't able to capitalize on all the open threes and open shots that they were getting. And when they wouldn't get the open shots, it seemed to me like they would just go to the post with Pau Gasol or LaMarcus Aldridge, and they were trying to make both of them create most of the points for their team.
How would you
do
it?
I don't know what y'all think.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think they have an option. How
they
would
don't,
you do
not
it? They don't
I,
have an option. They got to do that. And Mr. Vega, you're right. That's not optimal to be going into Powell and working through Pau Gasol. LaMarcus, I would say yes, but they don't have enough offense to make it.
But how many threes did they shoot last night? 50?
Who, San Antonio?
San Antonio.
They shot a ton, yeah.
A 50, I think.
It's the only chance they have.
That's the only way, but they can't make them.
It felt like 50 because they missed a lot. It was 28. They're 4 for 28.
That's
four
it?
For 28.
It was only 28.
That's all.
Yeah, maybe they shot a lot of long twos, but yeah, they're 4 for 28 last
and the,
night.
And the Rockets average, do you remember? I told you the number the other day.
45,
43?
42. Most ever in NBA history.
Yeah.
Right? 42?
Yeah. Listen, they don't have any options. They don't have any players, dude. I mean, it didn't matter if Golden State went on. They were 0 for 20 for a stretch. They were still going to win that game. First of all, they score in flurries. That's something that the Rockets do as well. They just score. Raheel was talking about that yesterday.
Flurry and defend. Because Golden State got to a different place when they were able to defend.
They were a good defensive
flurry
team.
Flurry and defend. Flurry and defend.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat teams that can flurry and defend.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you look up and it's like, holy crap, where did this game go? Because it's over.
Yep.
But San Antonio just doesn't have the talent. We were talking about it during the break. It's the style of basketball. All of the good teams now, it's just jack up threes. Well, you got right today in today's world, you got to find outside shooters. If you've got outside shooters, you got a chance to win because that's what everybody is playing. Talking about Minnesota, I don't know. Is this more on the GM or is it more on Thibodeau style? They score 109 a game. They give up 107 a game. That's a lot of points to score, but they don't shoot. They can't shoot any threes, so they're not going to beat these teams in the postseason. Now, here's one thing that leaves you though in the postseason: it's shooting. So you got to be able to defend.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, what I want to know, is it Tom Thibodeau style, or is it the talent that he has and he's doing the most with it that he possibly can? Because this style of basketball, is it going to win again? I don't know. Shooting twos. Being a grinding team, that has to, you know, goes low post to Cat and then plays defense? Is that going to ever win again? Because that's old school.
I don't know. Maybe. I just think math has fundamentally changed it forever. Just the same way, and I don't think it's any different than people can say it's cyclical. You know what's not cyclical? Doing the smartest thing possible once you learn it's the smartest thing. Like, football's never going back to two tight end. We're going to grind it 3 yards in a cloud of dust ever. You make your life too hard doing that.
Well, but it did go back to two tight end.
Yeah, two tight end, but for matchup purposes.
Yeah, right.
Not because we're just going to grind
and fling it around.
Hey, third and four, let's just run it and punt.
Right.
Like, that's over.
Yeah.
So, that's over. The shifts in baseball have fundamentally changed. Why would you play somebody straight up when their tendencies show that you play? Like, the Astros figured out, if they always hit it here, let's play here. Why are we? Because they could lay down a bunt the other way. No one ever does.
Yeah.
No one ever bunts the other way.
Rare. It's rare, but it happens. You know, very rare.
Very rare. And if you do, then you're probably playing.
Well, guess what?
Hands.
You're taking out a big bat out of a hand, yeah, as opposed to, you know, we'll give you that base.
And math and basket. That's why sabermetrics and analytics are fundamentally changing sports, because the three-pointer, from a math standpoint, it just makes more sense. Just go get shooters and shoot a bunch of threes.
Yep.
Don't try to. Well, if we do mid-range, and like, look, I grew up the same era. I love mid-range basketball and all that. It doesn't matter. I'm not stupid. The math shows. The math works. The Cleveland Cavaliers went to it, won a championship. Golden State does it. Houston does it. Boston does it. The top teams primarily do that. Even DeMar DeRozan has learned to shoot some threes. Ben Simmons at some point will learn to shoot some threes. The shift in baseball is another one. And then the up-tempo or wide-open style of football, being able to do that. College football is always ahead of the game. Tempo, tempo, tempo. The most. Remember when Kevin Sumlin would talk about, we don't care about possession, we care about the most plays. Because whoever runs the most plays typically wins.
Yep.
You just got average points per play.
That's right. That's it. It's math. 832 ESPN 97.5. Trying to catch up on breaks here.
You want to speak about math. So Renter's Warehouse, there's a house across the street from me, and it's for sale right now. And I know the listing agent. So I want him to sell it quickly. I want that. You know, they're friends of mine. I want them to sell that. I wanted to sell it to a good family across from us. Maybe have some kids. We'll run and play with my kids, whatever the case may be. But here's the thing. I wonder, it's been on the market now for 2 weeks. And I was just thinking to myself, 17 days on average is when Renter's Warehouse has people in your home. I'm wondering how long that family is going to, or that house is going to sit there for sale when it could be rented much, much quicker.
Oh, my God. So, average of 17 days. That's one of the keys, especially if you've got to get out of that in a hurry. And, oh, by the way, how much disposable income do you have where you can go buy a house somewhere else and have your house sitting there paying two mortgages? You can't do that. So what Renter's Warehouse does is we'll find somebody to be in your house, and chances are you don't even miss one mortgage payment, maybe a couple of weeks. That's an average of 17 days they're renting out your house, as opposed to a year or more of sitting there while you're paying your mortgage and nobody's living in your house. You have got to call Renter's Warehouse. 713-224-RENT, 713-224-RENT, renterswarehouse.com. You get to pick who's living in your home. They'll vet. They'll do everything for one low monthly fee. 713-224-RENT, renterswarehouse.com.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A lot of ugliness with the callers today, Dell. What's going on?
I don't know. I mean, does this show encourage getting after?
No, I don't know.
People? I mean, we do that to each other here, but I through sports map and on the show, but I'm not sure we've told or asked our callers to do that to each other.
Maybe instead of calling it The Bench, we should call it Don't Be Talking That Mess.
Oh,
right?
Man.
What is that, Todd? What do you got in there, Todd? Yeah, I'm on the air.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Todd, our...
Well, thank you.
I don't know what his official title is. Head muckety-muck of sales is what I like to call him. Hmm. Walks in.
All right. Well, you got it. Lance is bringing Andrew. Beautiful Andrew in.
Beautiful Andrew, the intern, in.
Beautiful. I don't know. What the hell? It's totally sweet.
I think John just got served a warrant.
I did.
Did you serve something just now?
No.
John, can you tell the good people of Houston how Andrew, beautiful Andrew, as they call him, is dressed today? Can you
look at those socks? He's got his rockets.
Those socks are fire.
Oh, he's got James Harden
socks.
James
Harden socks on, Dell.
Dell, do you have James Harden socks? Huh? Wait a minute. He's got a Harden 13.
Yeah. Yes.
He's got James Harden socks.
He reps at West.
When you wear them for the sixth time, does the elasticity just fall apart?
Is that the 30th time he's worn it?
No, stop it.
The sixth time. The elasticity just, you can't even pull up the socks anymore.
He's going game six.
He just gets tired.
He's going game six.
The elasticity just gets tired. You can't even pull them up anymore.
Those Harden socks.
But you know what?
Those Harden socks.
That's
old
school socks. Or that's Pete Maravich socks that were falling apart because you wore them so much.
Floppy socks?
You don't even have to wear them. You get to the sixth time and you're done.
That's it. So? And guess what?
And you know what? You kind of feel it on the fifth time. Like late in the day on the fifth time you've worn them, you kind of feel like it's not going to make the sixth, but then you try it again and then you're screwed.
They droop. They're drooping. They're starting to fall.
Like late in the day on game.
You got how many times you got to pull them up during the day?
Oh, I don't know. Quite a bit on that fifth day.
But beautiful Andrew's got, he's all hardened up, okay?
Yeah, he was upset that people were so focused on the Astros early in the show. He wanted more Rockets talk.
Really?
Andrew?
Yeah.
I don't blame him. The Rockets are in the playoffs. It's just that Astros right now lost 5 of 6. You need to tell him when he starts doing full-time sports talk, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease. And if you are losing, people love, well, let a team win. Crickets. Let a team lose. Phone calls. That's how that works.
Yeah, that is true. Charles wants to get all over the who was the last call? Oh, Mr. Vega. He wants to get on Mr. Vega. What do you say, Charles?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, but nothing much, guys. I was listening to the show, man, and you know, I love you guys. Is this like Cinco de Mayo of bad Mexican call days? I got my boy Chuck getting bashed by Manny, Nunchuck by Eric Wong, and all of a sudden we get Mr. Vega, who evidently has never watched basketball.
Wait a minute. This is Chuck again. Is it this Chuck? This is Chuck. That's it. Hang up, Chuck.
That's just Chuck.
His name is Charles.
He said now his name is
my
Charles.
My friend Chuck. I'm like, boy, this sounds exactly like Chuck. And I look up like, oh, it says Charles.
It's Charles.
That's it.
My friend Chuck.
My friend Chuck.
I'm getting numb, Chuck. What? I kind of like Chuck, though, okay?
Well, of course you do.
I like Chuck. He's a bit aggressive, but I got no problem with that. We got a couple of things that we have to talk about. We have not even mentioned Dez Bryant over the weekend released. They were talking about him this morning about he wants to go to the NFC East. He wants to play the Cowboys twice a year. Lamont just tweeted out a little while ago. He's like, people talk about Dez like he's a member of AARP or drawing Social Security. Man, Dez is better than Braxton and Ellington. This is the part of Houston culture I hate. Dez is mean. We don't want mean. I don't think it's that we don't want mean. I don't think we want a bunch of dollars that are being spent.
I'm sorry. When did Lamont start working for charity? Right. Because Dez is a charity case for the money he wants.
Well, that's the problem. Whether or not, I think Dez is going to come to the realization that he ain't getting those $16 million or even close.
He's not getting $10
million. No.
Who in the world would give? Dez has not even gotten to 800 yards receiving
in
3 straight years, and he's made over $30
million. Dez is a complimentary receiver now. He is. He's not a number one guy. He's just not a number one guy. I think he's proven that. He had a quarterback and he had a tight end and he had a running game, and yet he still didn't put up numbers. And a great offensive line. They had everything. And Dez was supposed to be the premier guy, and he wasn't.
He's missed 10 games in the last 3 years. He missed none last year. His yards per catch have gone way down. His touchdowns have gone way down.
And you could say
his yards per game have gone way
that's
down.
That's on Dak, or that's on, and you can say anything. Dez just isn't the same guy.
So this is a great stat. It's a simple stat. It's a really good stat in the NFL, and it can show you a lot about a player if they're separating and getting separation so that they are open. It either says a lot about Dak Prescott, or it says a lot about Dez, or maybe both. Here's Dez coming into the league, his catch percentage. This is the amount of targets versus the amount of catches, okay? 61.6%. That's pretty good as a rookie. Year two, 61.2%. Year three, 66.7%. Two out of every three throws he was catching. The next year, 58.5%. The next year, 64.7%. The next year, when Tony Romo got hurt, 43.1%. The last 2 years with Dak, 52% and 52%. What that would typically signify and what tape will tell you is Dez can't get open anymore. He was never a fast receiver, but he had decent speed for his size. But that speed is gone. He can't get open. Everything is a contested catch now.
Okay.
If you don't have fine pinpoint quarterbacks, it's hard to complete. It's the Josh Allen factor.
Right. Well, that would, you know, is a young quarterback hitting his spots? Is a young quarterback anticipating?
Probably not.
Probably not. So whether or not he's hitting his windows is another thing. That's another question. There's obviously variables on this deal. Was their offensive line as good? Was Dak having to get rid of it quicker? All of these things, I think, are probably up into play. My question is, would Dak be the number two guy here? And I think the answer is yes.
Number two guy in Houston?
Would Dez be the number two guy in Houston? Would Dez be the number two guy in Houston? And I think the answer is
yeah, but yes. they don't want.
But that just that speaks for two things: how bad the Texans wide receivers are.
Let me tell you, John. There's also a theory over there that Dak has gotten tired of Dez in his ear yapping at him all the time. At first, Dez like no. That's what I do to get guys motivated. It's the Draymond Green and you know what. Deshaun Watson might not want that in his ear. Deshaun Watson might not want the second or even potentially third best or most explosive wide receiver on the team in his ear, in his face, running the show. And let me tell you who really wouldn't want it. DeAndre Hopkins wouldn't want it.
No, but that's the difference, too, is would he adjust his attitude because he's no longer, first of all, he was a lifer with the Cowboys. Secondly, he's coming over to the new team, and he wouldn't be the number one guy. So whether or not that would continue to play. Now, you've got a sample size, though, of Dez, and you know what he is. So if he does do that crap, then you'd say, well, we should have known that. We should have expected him to do that. But maybe he can subjugate his game. That's my question, is whether or not.
Does he strike you as that kind of guy?
Nah, I don't know. So...
I have no interest in the Texans.
You don't?
I from a physical standpoint, football standpoint, I would.
I just think they got to get better.
He's too big a personality.
I think they just got to get better.
You can be a big personality if you can still perform. I'm not sure Dez can perform, to be honest with you.
Well, I think he's worth a flyer at about $5 or $6 million.
I mean, if you're close, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why the Ravens are probably looking at him.
What do you mean? The Texans are not only close, they're the favorite.
To do what?
And I don't even think it's about what Lamont said. I think it's about, look, man, the loudmouth stuff is great if you can really go. If you can't go, why are we going to fade listening to you all the time when you can't even play anymore? And if you don't think a guy can play, the last thing you need is loud, chirpy talker on a team where he's not even the best receiver.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying is whether or not that's got to be something that you sit him down and say, that screaming on the sideline crap, it ain't playing here.
Has he ever not been that guy? At Oklahoma State, you know, you followed him.
Well, at Oklahoma State, I don't think he needed to do that. No, you can ask
so damn much. What was he going to yell about at Oklahoma State?
Yeah, I don't think they had that. I don't remember that happening.
Like now, Terrell Owens could talk a lot because Terrell could still ball.
Yeah.
Even when Terrell got basically blackballed out of the league because people were tired of dealing with him, he could still play back then. Yep. Remember at Buffalo, I'm like, damn, Terrell Owens still has ability.
Yep. I don't know. I think it's a good question. I wouldn't mind it at a price, and if you lay down the law that, dude, this ain't your team, and shut up on the sideline. Shut up on the sideline and just ball, and we'll give you $5 or $6 million.
It would, football-wise, it would make sense because you don't have your wide receiver, so you go to more three wide receiver sets, and you got a big slot. What I would do is play Dez in the slot, big slot.
That's fun.
You got speed outside. You got to. I mean, that from a football standpoint, it is kind of intriguing.
That's what I'm talking.
I mean, it is kind of intriguing from a football standpoint.
All right. What about from a poker standpoint?
Well, from a poker standpoint, I basically think you're playing jacks. If you pay Dez, it's like I'm not sure that's going to work out well. But from a poker standpoint, if you do play poker, you got to know which hands are the best hands. And I got to tell you something. It's been so fun going back in and playing at Prime. I had played online all the time, and then, you know, they took that away, and now we got poker back in Houston. You go pay your fee, your one-time fee, and you're a member of the club. And every time you go in, like, the excitement of going and competing against other people and testing yourself, it's nice. You can actually win real money in a super nice location, 7801 Westheimer. It's a standalone location that is beautiful. Brand new tables, brand new oversized chairs, great staff of servers and management. They even let you pull up a table next to where you're sitting, and you can eat right there, believe it or not. Make sure that you go play poker, whether it's fixed limit, no limit games. You've got pot limit Omaha. Tournaments every day at noon. Every day at noon except Sunday, where it's at 2 o'clock because, you know, church and in poker. They want you over there at Prime Social, and they're going to take care of you. For the very best in poker, the nicest place, hands down, everyone knows it, in the city of Houston, go to 7801 Westheimer, just west of the Voss and Hillcroft, and stop in there and tell them you heard about it right here from Lance Zierlein on 97.5. It's PrimeSocialTX.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 853 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. All right, one thing we haven't gotten to so many things. So we talked about Dez. I'm for him. The Texans going for him, and you just got to
sure
fade it.
Just sight unseen. Like, you got a lot of you got a lot of qualifiers though.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got to be at a price.
Why would you at a price is a given. Why would you think you're going to read Dell the Riot Act and he's just not? I said Dell. I'm sorry, Dez. not you, Dell.
Can't read Dell the Riot.
You're a high football character guy.
He'll
read it back to you. Why would
Dell go right to HR?
I'm like, excuse me. The fine print in this Riot Act states you can't do that.
Why is Dez going to make a change for you? For Bob McNair of all people, why is Dez going to be like, you know what? I got to start just being quiet and keeping to myself.
Yeah.
Maybe not talking.
I think you know what, Dez? You got to have some self-awareness. You ain't the guy here. Well, we got one, DeAndre. He's the guy here. You're going to be second receiver.
Don't you ask DeAndre how he would feel about it?
Yeah. I think DeAndre.
Deshaun,
well, I know Tyrann Mathieu already tweeted Dez.
And DeAndre retweeted it.
Yeah. So I think DeAndre would be down with it. He's already said. You know what they want?
Oh,
he
did retweet?
They want good football players around him.
What if he went in and goes, hey, I just want to let you know, OB, I retweeted something out there about bring Dez to Houston.
No. Okay, why would he retweet it? And
look good?
No. Now, what if he really wants him? Because he wants good football players. Maybe he's tired of not having anybody on the other side and getting triple covered all the time. Maybe he's sick of that. Okay? So maybe they'll win more football games. That's what he might be.
I don't think he's getting triple covered. He has a zillion catches every year, but Mallett.
Right.
Everybody, Hoyer gets in the ball. Deshaun gets in the ball.
He'd still make it easier if he's got a guy on the other side.
I said Mallett. I meant the other dumb.
Hoyer. Brock.
Yeah. You know, Hoyer got on the ball.
Yeah, Brock. Oh, yeah, he did.
It was Brock couldn't get. That's how bad you are. If you're Brock Osweiler, you can't get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins, you're terrible.
Yeah.
Everybody could.
All right, a story here. Each NFL team's most indispensable non-quarterback.
Easy.
Who would you say? Now, who would you...
Boom, J.J. Watt, well, no, next question.
That's who they got, and you know
no,
what?
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. They put J.J.
Except he's been dispensable the
last 2 years.
Well, have they been?
That's right. That's what they're probably saying. Well, look without JJ being any good, look what they're doing.
Actually, they might be right.
No, I don't think they're right.
Okay, let's do it this way. JJ hadn't been healthy for 2 years, so he's clearly
disqualified. I think we've been talking about who their most indispensable player is.
Whitney Merciless.
Nope. DeAndre. You can't do anything.
You're
can't
right.
do anything offensively
so
without
are you
DeAndre.
Are you sure 100% that it's not Clowney?
I am sure 100% it's not Clowney.
They have nothing right now.
Well, they would have Whitney and JJ.
But we just said JJ doesn't count.
Well, Whitney, I don't think Whitney's... Hopefully Whitney's not a guy who's going to be injured every year.
You're right. I'm just trying to think of another one. It's got to be DeAndre
Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins.
He's such a volume pass catcher. Although you did Fuller played like 7 games and had like 36 touchdowns last year. So it's probably Fuller.
Nah, it's not Fuller. That's why you need Dez, because that dude just runs straight down the field. And that's fine. That's what he does. His straight line speed is awesome. What about
the thought that you go get? I think the top four combination tight ends, oil tight ends, Mike Gesicki is going to probably go in the second round from Penn State. He's a really good pass catcher, really soft blocker. Hayden Hurst will go in the first round. He is the best combination tight end, which is block and run. Kind of like Owen Daniels. I call Owen a tight end. He wasn't a combo tight end. He wasn't a great blocker at first, but he developed where you had him in every down tight end. I call him combo tight ends. There's a guy named Ian Thomas from Indiana who's got some of that. He might be there for the Texans in the third round. Good blocker and decent pass catcher. And then Dallas Goedert, who I think will outside shot of being first, maybe early second. So once you get past those four guys, then you get to Dalton Schultz, who's not really a pass catcher, Durham Smythe, who's not really a pass catcher, but they fit as blockers for the Texans. But that's the problem is I was looking at pass catcher types because really, do they want to – they got Steven Anderson. So I don't know that they're looking for – but they did throw the ball to Fedorowicz. Like he was getting catches before he got hurt.
Mark Andrews?
Mark Andrews actually – but he won't block at all.
That's all right. I want him in the slot catching balls.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Mark Andrews, for what the Texans want, might make some sense. It's just
when is Fumagalli going?
Like 6th, 7th?
Wouldn't mind picking him up late.
He has tiny-ass legs. When you look at him from behind, it's like, who's this sophomore in high school? You know he's missing a finger, too, right?
So he still catches.
You know that? He does catch it.
Okay, so...
I'm just asking if you know he's missing a finger.
Jason Pierre-Paul, okay. How's he? Is he any good?
Not as good as when he had 5.
Shaquem Griffin's missing a whole hand, and he's going to get drafted higher.
Not higher than what?
Higher than 6th to 7th round.
Yeah, he will.
Okay.
You want me to predict? I went and watched him again on tape, and I remember, that's right, I was right on him. You get all excited because he ran really fast, and then I talked to a team who said... He gets underestimated. He goes, he's a really good player, probably 5th, 6th. He goes,
when is Dallas Goedert going?
Somebody might second. Maybe late first, but probably second. I would love to have him.
I would love to have him, too. I saw him play. 859, ESPN 97.5. I got to talk right now about givemethevin.com. It's so easy, you can do it in your underwear. That's right. It's so easy, you can do it in your underwear. John Clay Wolf.
What do you mean by it?
You can give me the VIN.
Oh,
because it's all online. All you need is the VIN number. You type it in.
You can do that in your underwear.
Well, yeah,
that's pretty easy.
As long as you don't have that camera on your, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to be.
John Clay Wolf is not looking at you on your webcam.
No. You don't want that on when you're doing it.
He's hacked your laptop. If you go on the website, he can see whatever you do.
No, John Clay Wolf can't see what you do. Don't say that. No one will go givemethevin.com.
Some people might like for John Clay Wolf to look at
maybe, them. And maybe they wouldn't like that if they're doing it in their underwear. I don't know. You might have stinky, dirty underwear. I have no idea what your underwear is like. All I know is this, is that you, my friends, can go to givemethevin.com, put in your VIN number. You tell them what kind of condition your car is in. Within a minute, you're going to get a response as how much your car can sell for. Listen, your car, your truck, whatever it is, any kind of vehicle, they're buying all kinds of. He came down here to Houston to pick up a bunch of trucks from some company. He bought them all. He said, I'll take them all. All right. So this is what he does every single day, and you're going to get your best. And, oh, by the way, even if you're going to do it through a dealership, he can get that job done. And the dealership is probably going to try to rip you off. It's what they do. So John Clay Wolf says, listen, at least find out what your car is worth through us. That's all. It's that simple. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. You owe it to yourself. If you're going to sell your vehicle, you have got to go to GiveMeTheVIN.com.
We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.